Hear the behind-the-scenes story of a product marketer that got onto Shark Tank only a few months after founding her business, and with the odds against them, secured a deal with two of the sharks. She discussed how they used this opportunity to put her business into hypergrowth, and also shares several strategies that can help any business, regardless of being on Shark Tank or not. Welcome to another episode of the Harvest Growth Podcast, focused on helping consumer product companies, inventors, and entrepreneurs harvest the growth potential of their product businesses. Today, we're speaking with Desiree Haller, the founder of SubSafe. You can find it at thesubsafe.com. We'll include the URL in our show notes. If you're driving, go check it out later. But first, I'd love to introduce Desiree. Thanks for joining the show, and I'd love to hear more about your product.
Absolutely, John. Thank you so much for having me. So we invented the SubSafe, my husband and I. It is essentially a waterproof, crush-proof container for your sub sandwich. So our main intention is for it to be used in coolers to keep it from getting soggy and squished and, you know, just keeping it safe.
Fantastic. It's a great product. One of those where when you go to the website and you see it, you're like, how did nobody think about this a long time ago? You're solving a great problem, whether it's in water sports or throwing a sandwich in a backpack for a hike, or there's so many uses for it. I know you've got a line of other products you have come out with and are coming out with as well. So great. We'd love to hear about your journey. So a couple things that I know from your story that I'd love to share with the audience, and we'll dive into a lot more details, but you appeared on Shark Tank, I believe it was 2018. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And you were just in business, not very long, just a few months before that, which is not that normal. A lot of, as our audience knows, a lot of Shark Tank businesses have been around for a while, growing, and it's a quote unquote safer investment because they're already there. And it's just, hey, let's just grow this a little bit more. But you're basically at the beginning of your journey, just a few months in, and they saw the potential of this product and you got an investment from, who were your two investors?
Mark Cuban and Charles Barkley. Charles was a guest shark that week in season 10. And we were lucky enough to be one of the pitches for him, and he loved it. So yeah, Mark and Charles are still our partners. They're both amazing.
Oh, fantastic. Let's talk about the logistics of the deal. So I get a lot of questions personally. We've had a few of our clients go on Shark Tank, et cetera, over the years, and I'm not sure if we've ever shared the story. Kind of what happens afterwards? I know it's always a little bit different, but you make this deal in front of the TV cameras, but you don't get cash as you walk out the door, right? So there's a process that goes afterwards. What kind of was your overall high-level process without revealing anything confidential, of course?
I mean, it's definitely a due diligence process after the initial deal. In the tank, it is strictly a handshake. So it just means that if everything goes according to plan and everything checks out and we didn't lie about anything and they didn't find out about another competition that we didn't mention, or, you know, the numbers all aligned, then that's when the deal will take place. So for us, we filmed in June, I believe. We didn't air until January, and we didn't finalize our deal until October. So it's about 5 months it took for the deal to actually come to fruition. And, you know, like you mentioned, we were still so much a baby company. We were very green. We didn't have a lot of bank statements and sales and reports to really go through because we were just so new. So it was really just them, you know, coming down, realizing that, yes, we were patented and, you know, certain things had to all fall into place. But luckily they did.
That's fantastic. And did they stay pretty involved after the deal was set? Now it's been several years since then.
Yes. So I can pick up the phone or shoot an email to Mark or Charles at any point in time. They're both extraordinary partners. I honestly don't have anything bad to say about either one of them. They've been so helpful and just so willing. You know, neither one of them needs SubSafe to pay their bills. You know, I think that's pretty obvious, but their genuine concern and just willingness to help and want us to do the best that we possibly can is amazing.
That's great. And why do you think the show chose for you to be on and the investors chose to invest in your business at such an early stage when that's not the norm on Shark Tank? So what do you think helped you to stand out at that early stage?
I think it's a little bit of what you what you kind of already mentioned, where people see our product and they slap our their forehead. They're like, how does this not exist? How did Tupperware or Rubbermaid or one of these, you know, these big, huge corporations that are already doing food storage not think to do it for a sub sandwich and only for a square sandwich? So I think it was a little bit of that. I think our product is silly. Like, you know, people usually chuckle at first, like, oh, that's what it's for. So I think it was, I think that they saw great potential, the producers, but I also think that they knew that we would be fun and silly and, you know, make good TV.
That's good. It's I'm really excited to try one out this summer. We do. So in Colorado, where our business is, where I live, we have something called 14ers. So there are 14,000 foot mountains. There's 54 of them across the state of Colorado. And we try to hike a couple a year, whatever, the easy ones. I'm not a technical climber by any means, but man, you get to the top and the food's horrible, right? Like, you're happy to be there and you open up a squished peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or I would never even think to bring a sub, right? Because it would get ruined on the hike up, right, or whatever. And so I'm excited to show off to my friends and family when I get to the top this summer and really show the delicious sandwich, sub sandwich I can have up there. It's really cool.
Yes.
So how did you say, when you had this investment come in, obviously, and this involvement from the Sharks, but there's a lot of ancillary benefits also that come from being on Shark Tank, just from the PR, et cetera. How, did you see an immediate growth in your company after you first aired on Shark Tank?
Oh yeah. I mean, the exposure alone just catapults your business into a new direction. We filled orders all day, all night for weeks on end. And just the exposure alone, it's not just from the direct to consumer sales. It is also all of the mom and pop sub shops that saw us and wanted to now carry us in as a, from a retail standpoint, and Bed Bath and Beyond. And, you know, all of the exposure that came as a result of the airing went far beyond the initial website sales and continues to, because it's not just a one-time deal. We rerun every couple months. So the lead generation is just ongoing, which is incredible. Cause it's, we all joke, all of us Shark Tankers, that you know, it's just a gift that keeps on giving always.
Yeah. Yeah.
So grateful. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And that is something, it's, you know, a lot of times people think about the PR benefit of it, which is great, right? Getting that exposure. And so many PR opportunities are one-offs, right? You get a, you air on the Today Show. It's awesome, right? You're going to get those orders coming into your business, but after a month or a couple of months or whatever the number of time amount of time is, it starts to whittle away and goes kind of to nothing, right? It's not repetitive. That's one of the benefits, I think, of Shark Tank, is the fact that they do have reruns. But also, I think that a bigger benefit, I think, is when you take advantage of the opportunities presented to you quickly, right? So getting into retail, for example, you created your own path to return sales, to long-term revenues, not just from a one-off sale, but keep that benefit of that awareness going for a long time.
Yeah. Yes.
So what has happened since to your business? So kind of fast forwarding, now it's been several years and you continue to grow. What else has worked from a marketing perspective to really drive your growth?
So one of the main things that we have just sort of constantly evolved is creating new functions and uses for the existing containers, making interchangeable pieces to add more function, and really remarketing. We have the best customers. I always say this. I mean, we never have returns. People are just so good to us on social media and so appreciative of our product, and they give them as gifts. We have the best customers, but we created a really high quality product that we intended to last. We intended it not to be something that you have to buy every summer or, you know, that's falling apart and cracking and discoloring. We really wanted to maintain the integrity of our product. So now we have to keep selling to our customers, right? Because otherwise, you know, we have a fairly inexpensive product with decent margins, but you know, how do you keep your customer for a lifetime? So we've come out with five new pieces in addition to the original three pieces, which are SubSafe. It comes with three pieces, so you can either do a 6-inch or a 12-inch container. And now we have drinking lids. We have ways to screw together the caps so that you have snack size containers and 2 6-inches at a time. We have a strap with a carabiner clip and bottle opener. So we just constantly, we have SubSafe squared now, which is four. It is round, which is part of our humor, but it's round, but it's four square sandwiches. We've developed a wine product. I have something else coming next month that I can't wait to debut. So we just, you know, continuing to give our customers new innovative ways to protect their food, to spend an entire day outdoors and let it be the last of their worries of whether or not their food is going to be soggy and squished and waterlogged by the time they come back. So that's been the main, you know, marketing strategy. Whereas some entrepreneurs might've dumped hundreds of thousands of dollars into marketing. We have reinvested into growing out our product line, and doesn't mean that we don't do other marketing, you know, strategies and social media spend and all of that. But for me, it was really important to not just be a one and done. I wanted to be, our slogan is we are a cooler lifestyle. And that's what I want us to be. I want, when you purchase your Yeti or your Arctic or your Eco or whatever brand cooler you purchase, I want to be the next stop because the two go hand in hand. So that's kind of what we've been up to.
Love that. I wrote that down, the cooler lifestyle. What a great tagline. Love these double meaning taglines that you get right away and really speaks to your brand. So all great news. Everything's been fantastic for business. It doesn't sound like any mistakes have ever happened, but I'm sure they do, right? With every entrepreneur's journey, there are mistakes that come along the way. Have you had any that you know, if you could rewind and redo, that you would have done something you would have done differently along the way?
I mean, yeah, one of the biggest lessons that was, you know, learned the hard way by myself is just keeping up with the inventory. And, you know, that was tough for me because we either had way too much or we didn't have enough. That was a big learning curve. And how do you predict? I mean, you're growing at an astronomical rate. And if you buy too much, your cash flow is hurting. And then if you don't buy enough, then you're not able to fill POs and you're missing out on, you know, revenue that way. So it was tough. And I don't know that it'll ever be perfect for any company because things are always changing so much. And, you know, that was a big one. Shipping really hurt us in the past 12 months. Ocean freight has been, ours alone has gone up 7 times what we initially would pay before all of this, before COVID. So when you're talking about paying, you know, $30,000 more than you used to for 15,000 SubSafes, it really hits your bottom line really hard. But that's unavoidable. That's not so much a mistake as just, you know, navigating, you know, unprecedented times. But we had a product that the SubSafe squared, the one for square sandwiches, where the O-ring wasn't quite thick enough in about 20% of one product run, and they were leaking, which is my absolute worst nightmare. It's what my nightmares are actually made of, that I'm opening an email and someone tells me that their food was soggy. But you know, it happened a few times and we had to make it right, and we did that, and we sent gift cards and we replaced the product. And you know, but you get a run of 20,000 units of something and you select 100 maybe to test, but there's just no way to test every single product. And other than that, we've had really, really, you know, good relationship with our manufacturers, and we haven't had any, it was just that one hiccup. But yeah, the entrepreneurial life is not for the faint of heart by any, it is constantly something else. Just not even a month ago, I had a large order going to a Publix warehouse in Georgia, and the freight company completely lost our shipment. They have absolutely no explanation for where it went. They don't have, I mean, just completely gone. So it never showed up to Publix, and that caused a great deal of stress. And then the next day I found out we were being aired on Good Morning America again, and we received tons of exposure that more than compensated for that mistake. And so it's just, it's a roller coaster, and you can't ever get too down on yourself or your company or your employees or anything, because the next day it's going to be completely different. It's a wild ride.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. So let's rewind a little bit. You talked about a lot there that was really beneficial, but one is inventory. And that's a thing that there's a lot of questions, problems, concerns for any product marketer along the way to adjust for that, right? So as you mentioned, the problem is when you have a spike in volume, your inventories go way down. Then you plan for the next one, get high level inventories, and the volume isn't there, and you're stuck with it for a little while. So there's that constant fight or battle between too much demand or too much inventory, and go back and forth. Are there any learnings that have been helpful for you to, it's never perfect, right? It's always a challenge, I know, but what's helped you along the way to start to manage that better?
I mean, it's difficult to do when you're a new company. I mean, there's really no way around that. Now that we have a few years under our belt, I can look at the prior years and I can make projections and based on actual data, what we sold and for this retailer and breaking it down. And I have a little bit more data to work with, but I mean, in the beginning, it's all about faith. That's it, you know, trusting your gut and doing what you can with the cash flow that you have and growing at a speed that, you know, that your inventory situation allows. Because ultimately when you receive as much exposure, like being on Shark Tank as you do being on Shark Tank, it's, you know, you could do a lot more than what we even did. So it's all about having faith in the beginning. That's it.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I would add is just realizing as an inventor or entrepreneur that you're never really alone or don't have to be. It feels so lonely sometimes, especially in the beginning, but there are so many people out there that are down this path further than us and our businesses, wherever we're at in our journey. And oftentimes they are very willing to talk with us, right? So I would give advice to the audience, if you are starting out or in early stages and have inventory questions or any other question, to reach out to your network and find other people that have been further down that path. I'm sure, Desiree, you've been a great resource to people along the way now that you're kind of further along. And, you know, in the early days, I just counsel everyone to find your connected mentor, right? So somebody could be local to you or someone you gel with that you find on LinkedIn or whatever it might be. But people are willing to give back because, especially in the entrepreneurial world, because we've been down that path. We know the trials you go through and struggles. And sometimes it just takes that second set of eyes to look again, whether it's inventory or it could be almost anything else. Well, Desiree, are there any resources that you've found really helpful for you in your journey and in your business, a book, a podcast, or whatever it might be that's been helpful that you might recommend to others?
I do listen to a lot of podcasts. That's big for me. I have a variety of different ones that I listen to. One of the main things that, just going back to what you were just saying about finding someone who's further in the journey than you, we have this secret Facebook group for Shark Tank entrepreneurs. And it's just a safe space where we can all bounce ideas off each other and connect and just share what's working, what's not, vent, whatever we need to do. And that has been one of the most amazing. Of course, I have Mark. Of course, I have Charles and their teams and all of their employees. But speaking to someone who's in it right there with you at the same time, and you know, I'm a big believer in business karma. So giving back to the people who are a little bit behind where we're at, grabbing a little bit from the people who are further advanced, and it all just kind of equals out. So we're all helping each other. But yeah, that's been a huge positive in my journey.
That's great. And we'll post your login to that secret group in our show notes. Just kidding.
Yeah.
People would love that, I'm sure. Just teasing. Is there anything I didn't ask that you think could be helpful for our audience?
I just always tell people, if you have an idea, if you have something that you're passionate about that you know doesn't exist, just go for it. Don't sit on it. I firmly believe that even just meeting people at trade shows after we launched, I had a couple of people tell me, I had this idea. I thought of this 5 years ago. I never did anything with it. And it like punches you in the gut because you want to just be like, oh, come here, you know, let me take you under my umbrella, because you feel for them that, you know, they could be doing what you're doing right now. But I've just also heard that over and over again. I had this idea, and then not necessarily our idea, but any idea. And I didn't do anything with it. And 2 months later, you know, somebody else or a big corporation is doing it. So just do it. Just go for it. And if, you know, you need help, there's so many resources on the internet now. There are so many YouTube videos. Shark Tank is obviously an incredible resource for just learning about all of the processes and everything from engineering and patenting to manufacturing and hitting the market.
That couldn't agree more. That's great advice. It sometimes just takes that step, right? So it's not comfortable for everybody, but success doesn't come from comfort. It's just taking that step forward and finding your own path to success, whatever that might be. That's great advice. So I do want to tell the audience, make sure you visit their website. Desiree's website is thesubsafe.com. Again, it'll be in our show notes. You can go back and look at it later if you're driving. There's a discount code on their website, Harvest Growth, all one word. And with that, you'll get a 20% discount off of your purchase on the website. So I encourage our audience to at least check out the website, see the product, see all the great work they've done. You'll see some photos from Shark Tank and some more of the backstory, but of course, a lot more about the product as well. Well, Desiree, it's been an absolute pleasure. I appreciate the time you've taken to meet with us today. For the listeners, please go to thesubsafe.com to learn more, and be sure to check out Harvest Growth Podcast to see other episodes we've recorded. And if you like this episode and want to learn more about how you can profitably grow your consumer product business, please subscribe to our show and leave us a review at iTunes or Google Play.